They're not going to burn us down no more. They're not going to shoot us down no more. Because if they do, we're going to do what Mike did. We're coming at them with everything we got. And I'm saying to Consolidated right now, we got to do any more burying in the graveyard. They better get out their shovels. Because we're through taking punches. You don't win a fight taking a punch. Can you see what this says? This ain't a bunch of letters like any other union. It says fist. And that's what we are. Every guy in here, a fist. One fist. One fist. One fist. What are you? What are you?
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Esker, right here in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, where we've had sunshine today and the snow keeps melting and melting and melting. It's going to go away some of these days. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for our work. And we'll take it from there, and you can send a snail mail also to that P.O. box and then go up to resist.com, and that's the giant racial center of the universe, and you can download all kinds of things free, a lot of older radio shows that go way back, and all kinds of stuff. So anyhow, but during your daily routines, you can go to 559-670-1473 and get a message that we're sending out. This is our main message line now, and we change it every few days. And we're keeping the other line we had too, which is 641-715-3800. But on this line, you have to press 56890#. To hear that message. So I'll try to put a different message on both of those phone lines, and then you can call 574-267-5036, and that will be my personal line that you can reach me with a personal message. If I'm available and I'm not real busy in the bunker, I'll pick up the phone and talk to you. So anyhow, so we got three lines going there now. How about that? Well, I got a call from a fellow up in North Dakota, Joel Kitekamp, at the radio station up there, and I didn't write down the name of the radio station, I'm sorry, but they wanted to do an interview this morning, because tomorrow is the hearing for Craig Cobb Keenan Dutton. That's tomorrow. They're going to have that hearing. And I did the best I could to blunt the spear in talking to them. And I'm going to play back the interview for you, in which I'm telling them they better be more worried about this tar sands pipeline and all this oil cars blowing up and all that kind of stuff ruining the environment of North Dakota than they should be worrying about Craig Cobb. And like I said, I've known him probably 7 or 8 years. I never met him personally, but I've always gotten along good with Craig, and I never known him to be involved in any violence. So I got that all on the radio. And I told him, yeah, Keenan Dutton is a vet from Afghanistan, and he's got about 70% or over 70% disability. And I said, probably the reason where he went nuts in that meeting, which I don't advocate and don't support, was that he was probably on his PTSD medicine, and then he drank on top of that, and that's probably what kicked that off. And so anyhow, I'm going to play this recording for you of this interview and see what you think. Yeah.
Talking about what happened in Leith with Craig Cobb and kind of done. they've been up in Stanton, and they were charged with acts of terrorism, and the hearing is tomorrow. And the writing throughout all of this that's been done by the Associated Press and the Bismarck Tribune, I think, has been quite good. We took this show out to Grant County, and we did a show on Leith. I went right into Leith. I met them, talked to them, you know, and basically, I think it's my job to make sure not just one side of this is heard. And Tom Metzger came to North Dakota at the behest of Craig Kopp. Tom Metzger heads a group called The Insurgents, and they're a group that believes in separation. They're a group that, well, I'll let Tom describe it best to you. Good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Joel?
Just fine. Why don't you describe to the listening public out there what The Insurgent is? What is your group all about? What do you stand for?
Actually, we're not a membership group. I have not been a membership group for years and years. It's individuals who operate as individuals interested in not only racial separation, but environmental problems and banking economic problems and anti-war activity. So we cover a lot of bases, but as individuals, nobody carries a membership card.
So what was it about you that attracted Craig Kopp to you? Why did he feel that he was doing your work and others in Leith?
Well, the first thing he said was that there's a lot of jobs up there in the oil fields, and we should get a lot of these young white guys that are out of work that believe in our type of politics that go up there, and they can make quite a bit of money and then go back home, buy a house or something. That's the way it all started. It wasn't started to take over anything. But then Craig bought all these lots, and then all of a sudden he attracted some people that I wouldn't want coming to my town and brought them in there, unfortunately, and that's what caused this thing to become such a Donnybrook.
Okay, so when he first pitched this to you, it was about jobs of like-minded, political-minded people like yourself. It wasn't about taking over a town, turning it into a white enclave, and saying, you know what, no blacks can come into this town.
Well, not in the very beginning, no. Well, it was, and there was never any statement that I ever heard from Craig Kopp that said no blacks could come into the town. I mean, I have a little problem calling a place that has 21 people even a town. I mean, you know. So anyhow, in the process, all of a sudden, Craig Kopp said he's giving me a lot up there. So at the moment, I said, well, okay. So anyhow, all of a sudden, all of this other stuff started coming up and bringing, you know, the Hollywood Nazis came in there, and they always just muddle the water up, muddy it up, and I think Craig got a little carried away, but the point is, I've looked at this videotape taken of what I guess this charge is based on. I don't even see anything rising to assault, yet alone terrorism. Have you seen the videotape?
I have. I did. I saw the tape. And Tom, I'm not going to lie to you about this. I thought that what they did at the city council meetings was far more terroristic than walking around the town with weapons. You can walk around the town with
weapons. I agree about that. I was very critical of the young man for going in and doing that. However, I have found out since that time that he is a veteran of the Afghanistan in the military, and he's on 70% disability, and he's got PTSD. That's according...
You're talking about Dutton now, right?
Dutton, yeah. That's the information I have. And so if he was taking his medicine and also had some booze on top of that, that's probably what made him go off half-cocked.
Yeah. Although, for Tom, it goes to me further than that. I mean, and I don't know where you're at. You're much more in the public eye on some of these more controversial issues than I am. When somebody comes and puts a camera right in my face,
yeah,
the way that Craig Kopp did to people at that city council meeting, you know, that they're asking for it. They're asking to me. That's terroristic. That's
well, I'm in agreement that that they went too far in the sense that I go to meetings all the time, and I never get in trouble going to meetings, and my friends that go to meetings and like that. And I was very highly critical of Craig, even though he's a friend of mine, for acting that way, but I don't consider it terroristic. I considered it a very ill-chosen activity.
Okay, let me ask you the questions this way. Do you believe that North Dakota is using that law as a means to get Craig Cobb out of the state?
Well, yes. In fact, what's amusing is he told me personally, as soon as the snow started flying, he was leaving anyhow, for the winter at least. So just a few days after they were arrested, they would have been out of there. So it seems it's costing the people of North Dakota a lot of money for something that's really not that big a deal. I think the politicians like it because it keeps the eyes of the taxpayers off the real problems of North Dakota on this situation.
Well, give me an example of what you're getting at.
Well, I believe the whole tar sands oil deal and the pipeline and all that stuff is terrible. It's a terrible idea, and it's going to really wreak havoc on North Dakota. And North Dakota is a beautiful state. There's nothing to be gained by bringing that dirty tar sands Canadian oil down through North Dakota, where that pipeline, those pipelines notoriously spring leaks and everything else. And then now you got these railroad cars blowing up and burning up, and I'd say the people of North Dakota better concentrate on their environment and not get so excited over this little Donnybrook and Leith.
Tom Metzger is our guest. He came to a rally in North Dakota at the behest of Craig Cobb and spoke. There were many people outside protesting your being there.
No, I didn't come. I wasn't there at all, Joel.
Oh, I thought you were one of the speakers.
No, I didn't advocate that at all. That was all Craig and these other people that did that. No, I wasn't about to come up there and stand around with a bunch of guys with World War II uniforms.
Sorry about that, Tom. Yeah, I didn't mean to
No,
no. You in with those. What I'm really trying to get at is where the support, if any, comes to a Craig Cobb. Not to make him out to be some victim, but to just present all sides of an argument. If a Craig Cobb, who literally doesn't have anything financially, gets thrown in jail for what is perceived to be by law enforcement as the state's attorney as an act of terror, and he ends up now in a hearing tomorrow to try to defend himself on that, which is, you know, a felony. Does your group or do other groups out there of like-minded political philosophy provide any financial support to him? Or is he just out there all on his own?
Well, I send him a little money myself. I don't have lots of money, but I send him some money, and you know, like a telephone card to call her relatives or whatever. I think that, and I've sent some law books into them because I don't think they're going to get much quality defense in, around there. Hell, and I've been in situations that looked a lot worse than that over the years in L.A. and places like that, and I was never even thought of being arrested. If I had the attorneys I've had in L.A. up there, they'd had them out of jail already.
Tom, do you have a little more time to give me? Can you hang with me for a little more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Tom Metzger, the insurgent and someone who knows Craig Cobb. The hearing is tomorrow. Let's go find Terry Spies, find out what's the goal of how he sees this playing out in rural areas in the future. I want to get Tom's take on that. So stick around. More coming your way right here on News and Views. The number one and number two.
This Saturday only, Carpet World and
Views. The hearing for Craig Cobb and Keenan Dutton is going to take place tomorrow. There are some out there on a national scale who believe that basically they're being railroaded. Tom Metzger was asked to join us today, give an opposite view of what many here in North Dakota believe. Tom, I have to ask you this. For people in the rural area who, yet for the grace of God, these people could have moved in next to us, is that going to be a model by people like you that believe in separatism, that believe in white supremacy?
Well, they have done that for years. They've been doing it for decades. People getting sick of the urban areas of the country and moving into small towns, they get They start businesses. They get a job. They join the clubs. If they're religious, they join the churches, and they're there. And but they don't come to town with a brass band and uniforms and flags. They just melt into the community. And that's, of course, I've advocated that for decades. And there's plenty of our friends in North Dakota, but they're not marching up and down the street with flags and things.
Tom, what is it about blacks that makes you want to live someplace else where they're not welcome?
I think I, along with a lot of blacks that I talk to, think that racial separation works best. I go on to black radio stations all the time, and I get received very well. People saying blacks, you know, instead of having all this forced integration and forcing people to do something they don't want to do, separation is fine. And if everyone had that, if the government wasn't spending billions of dollars to forcibly integrate, people would continue to separate like they have for thousands of years. So,
I have to ask you this: Do you think a black and a white should legally be allowed to be married?
No, I don't think so. If we're living under a law that makes it, you know, that they have to, that you have to do that, that's one thing. But I don't agree with it. No.
Do you believe that blacks are less or a lesser person than a white person?
Well, when you say lesser person, that covers a lot of territory.
Well, do you believe that white people are better than black people?
I think they're better at being white. I think that there's a lot of difference overall between the races, and I think there always has been, there always will be. And I think that anybody that looks at the looks at history and so forth will agree with that. Let me say one thing. If I had been living in the South at the time that the slavery started coming in, I'd have been on the beach with as many men as I could to turn those slave ships around and never let them come to the continent of America. I wouldn't be one of these guys. I wouldn't support the capitalist idea, monopolist idea of slavery and plantations. I'd be totally against that.
Your ancestors came to this country.
Yes, they did.
I mean, you're not of Native American descent, which means that you know, I realize we're talking about people coming forced. I get that. But what I'm saying is, you talk about race, I talk about nationality.
Well, nobody's...
I'm sitting here, and I'm German, and I'm Norwegian. There's a lot of difference between Germans and Norwegians.
Not that much. Not that much.
Well, get together with them sometime.
Well, I do get together. I know a lot of all those people, ethnic people from all those countries, but anyhow...
Do you believe a black man should ever be allowed to be president?
I don't believe the white people should elect him as president. No, I think black people want to elect him as president. Maybe that's their right to do, or their privilege to do. I think that we would not have a black president if it hadn't been for the crimes of George Bush Jr., which really made people so fed up in this country, from his warmongering and war crime against Iraq and so forth. And so they said they were so fed up that, you know, it fell right in. Obama fell right into their lap.
Tom, I have 1 minute left, and I wanted this interview to be an opportunity for you to get your views out on the Craig Cobb story and what's happened here in North Dakota.
I appreciate
it. Anything to add? Do you have anything you want to say in a closing statement?
Well, worry about your environment in North Dakota. You have nothing to gain from this tar sand stuff coming through your state. It's not going to go do any good for the American people. It's just going to be shipped out to China once they crack it down in Texas. And you don't want all these tanker cars exploding all over your state and all that. Tell Canada to keep their tar sands oil. And don't get too excited over this. Slap Craig on his hands, he'll back off. He's not a violent man. I've known him for five or six, 7 years. I've never heard him say anything that he was interested in violence.
Okay. Tom, thank you. Thanks for coming on with us.
You're welcome.
Tom Metzger.
Well, let's look into the mailbag today. We got one nice note here from Joey. Let me see what he's got to say. Dear TT, I heard a caller on your show saying that once the shooting starts, the police will be on the other side. He's right, but we still need long lone wolves inside most major police departments and the military, as well as the VC had the NVA that did this in the Vietnam War. Well, they're doing it over in the Middle East, too. And every once in a while, one of these Al-Qaeders that are signed up in the police force or the military turn around and shoot the officers and so forth. It's not uncommon in military outfits. And Michael Collins had the best intelligence network during the Irish uprising from 1919 to 1921. And even though he attacked police stations, he had cops who were also spies in those police stations. One was a detective sergeant, Ned Broy, who was feeding Michael Collins very important intelligence of the workings of the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Black and Tans. So we need to take out the police, but we also need lone wolves as cops. Sure, that's the whole idea of lone wolf, is to infiltrate. And something that the most right-wingers have never thought of or just don't do. If everybody who claims to be white racial separatists would have started infiltration practices as a habit decades ago, guess where we'd be today? They couldn't move without us knowing what they were up to. Another thing that is in our favor is that the standards of the military and most police departments have been drastically lowered over the years. Better say that again, which you probably witnessed. I was listening to Wolf Wall Street and Siegfried on the White Castle show, and Wolf makes a good point. Our line military has a lot of untermenschen. I say the same about most police departments. Yeah, I mean, they're about half or two-thirds non-white. He also says the worst we have to worry about and our best and are the best the system has are private military contractors. They are well trained, and they are mercenaries, and will do anything for money. But I do think we will win, because our enemies aren't their anti-nature. Best of luck, Tui. Yeah, sometimes, you'll have to pardon me, because sometimes the boys don't print real well, or if they write longhand, it's difficult. But anyhow, we got the point there, and I agree. And I agree. Infiltration is a great weapon. One of the greatest weapons. That's why all the time I was in the right wing, we were infiltrated everywhere we went. Everything we did, there was some kind of damn infiltrator there. Or a paid contractor or whatever. So, if you operate as a lone wolf, you can be as secure as you choose to be. Sure not going to tell them any of you guys' names, I'll tell you that. But it's becoming easier and easier for me because I'm getting older and older and more forgetful all the time. Give me another few years and they could never get anything out of me, even pulling my fingernails, even if I wanted to. Here's a letter in here from Craig Cobb. It was very good to hear from you again. I had to wait a couple of days to respond till the writing bug hit me. To answer regarding the sunny climbs I had been going for, yes, early on thought of all that loss, but now I am resigned to the to the late. I don't know what he means. He was going to, he told me he was going to pull out of there by the, before the snow started in North Dakota. He was going to the sunny climes, but he didn't make it. That is to say, there is relatively little I can do about it all. Now it is like my retirement years, except the sleep, except the sleep time has vivid dreams in which I travel extensively, and those are near 12 hours a day. It's just the way it is, Tom. Yeah, I remember how that goes if you're in a jail cell. You sleep a lot. They tell me just about the entire state is lockstep against us. So that is something to think about. Well, on that radio show today, the guy admitted, he said, a lot of people think you got, they're getting a bum rap. So that's good. At least he said it. I'm sure that the Mossad town, Herlia, 15 or so miles north of Tel Aviv, has done all the researches on how Americans, whiteys all, even in North Dakota, can be expected to respond if just slightly cattle prodded. So I'm not overly optimistic. It's just what it is. I really like the thought of you coming up here for the trial itself. No one else could represent it better to the press. Hell, I'd even flip all my properties to you if I thought you'd enjoy playing with them. But it is not Wolf style, I guess. I still have 9 lots, counting the 2 the house set on. There is a lake up here, Lake Tschida, where you can camp out for just $2 a night. And they have showers, too. If you could bring a van or an RV, a smaller one, just a thought. Anyway, with $1 million here and there, and all the continuous girly drama, it's hard to see how they can't push a jury to even more overacting drama, but we will see. They just have TV dinners in this jail. Well, when I was single, Craig, I used to buy all TV dinners back in 61, 62, long in there. I'd go to the grocery store, and I'd buy about 10 TV dinners and shove them in the refrigerator, and that was it. Keenan really appreciated hearing personally from you, as well as the money you sent him. I am doing fine for money, just fine, so no need to send me money. We will try to get a change of venue at the preliminary next Monday. Well, it's going to be tomorrow on Wednesday. I have a feeling they won't grant that, knowing, I don't see that, well, all is well, it will just cause us to enjoy their long ride. Till an appeal many months from now. Hope I don't sound too negative, just prepared for the worst. It has really helped knowing that Tom Metzger is supporting of us in the trial. So thank you a lot, Tom. I am looking forward to acquiring the overly dramatic and I am sure false 9/11 calls in the discovery process. Tom, we'll write more in a couple of days. By the way, if I get a long sentence, I'm going to apply to do the time in British Columbia. But Canada and USA have to approve it. Ha ha. I can dream, can't I? Later, sir, Craig Cobb. Well, I'll guarantee you they never put you back. British will never bring you back up there. In fact, they probably hammer you worse. Because you got an outstanding stupid warrant up there. So anyhow, he's doing as can be expected, surrounded by sharks. But he may not be in as bad a situation as you think, because I've pretty put it into their mind quite a bit that they're going to be spending a lot of money on virtually nothing. And viewing the videotape evidence they've got, they don't even have enough to really get a conviction on assault. All you need is one person, one hunter up there that's going to say, well, that's bullshit. They just had their guns walking down the street. They didn't point them at anybody or anything. I'm not going to vote. It may be better that they're going for a felony and a big deal, because it would be much easier for a jury to find them guilty on a lesser, much lesser charge. But if they go for broke on a major felony, they could fall right on their ass if they don't watch out. And, of course, that would give Craig and Nathan, or what's his name, anyhow, that would give him a great appeal to a higher court, get it out of North Dakota, you know. So, anyhow, it's good. He's doing pretty good. Although about me becoming a slumlord in Leith. Well, it would be funny if we owned the whole town and we were the renters and we had to collect the rent from all those people. You think I would move to an Odin-forsaken place like that? You're crazy, man. How can 20 people in one spot in a dirt road call themselves a town? Sounds like something out of the 1800s. I don't think I recorded what I just said, so I'll say it again. I got a note here from Sweden. Greetings, Tom. In a letter from PM Matt Hale, he wanted me to thank you for the books you sent him. He's reading them now and appreciates them very much. Rahua, by way of Sweden. Yeah, and I also sent some money to him from you guys that are donating through his mother. So instead of sending it through to this big deal up in Iowa, I'll send it direct to his mother. Well, I see that the Hebrews, Hebarus, Jews, kikes, whatever you want to call them, cleaned up at the Golden Globes on Sunday. Yeah, among the crop of victors at Sunday's Golden Globe Awards were a noteworthy bunch of Jewish Hollywood types. Best Screenplay Motion Picture went to Spike Jones, Born Adam Spiegel, for the film Her. Never heard of it. Best Actor in a Miniseries or TV Movie was Michael Douglas, who played Liberace in Behind the Candelabra. Let's see here. Who else? Best Actor in a Miniseries or TV Movie. Oh, yeah, that was Douglas. Possibly the most controversial of the bunch is Woody Allen, who would have taken home the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement if he had shown up. Diane Keaton accepted on his behalf, and Mia and Ronan Farrow dissed him on Twitter. Andy Samberg scored twice, winning Best Actor in a TV Series Comedy for his role Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I heard was a horrible movie. That was even other Jews called it a bad movie, which was named Best TV Series Comedy. If you missed his adorable acceptance speech, check it out here. It was one of the evening's highlights. I bet it was. Oh, boy. Well, I don't see anything more on that. So they didn't clean up as much as they thought they did, I guess. To wit, I commented, it's not just the Jews, it's their Jew-thinking Christian buddies. That's in the comment section. Yeah. In the JewishPress.com, news of the Jews, Israel, and the world. You know, when I was a kid, I never thought bad things about Negroes. Never talked about niggers or anything. Because there were none around. You see? There's a point there. Well, it's time for my daily romp down history's lane with the book Siege and James Mason. I really like it. It's been a while since I've read it. Revolutionary common denominator. There's no need of revolution in a healthy state and society, and indeed there can be no talk of it. Each revolution has been preceded by the selling out of the existing ruling class. And who else but they are in charge of all the building blocks of a civilization's government, church, professions, military arts, and so on. These things all go when the ruling or upper class sells out and becomes decadent, unfit to rule any longer. This goes way beyond the removal of Jews. It amounts to total revolution. The Jews can't be credited for all this, through, though they are a large part of it. The Jew remains a Jew, but without a corrupt, inept, decadent ruling establishment, he has nowhere to peddle his goods. A healthy state will expel or kill the Jew. A decadent one will take him to its bosom. The Jew corrupts the nation. He buys his way into opinion-forming and taste-making media, feeds the gullible masses his poisonous liberal garbage. This, in turn, gets sounded back into gutless, opportunistic politicians in the democratic process. Finally, the very fabric of the nation is a tangle of perverted, legislated, Talmudic euphemisms. This is how an original Puritan state becomes Sodom inside of 50 years. Neither the victims nor the leftovers. We're a historic breed. Revolutionaries, we appear and vanish as times demand, just long enough to do the job at hand. After us comes the slow historic process all over again. The mark of a revolutionary movement can only be seen in its complete separation from the current establishment. It is completely apart. It is not apart because it can't make the grade in a sick society, but rather because it can't stomach it and refuses to be part of it. It is set apart because of it is disciplined, sober, and austere, truly moral. It is a revolution because, finding itself faced with absolute abomination, it has as a higher priority the destruction of the system, and therefore is not some piddling conservative sideshow crusade. It can and does reject the prevailing decadence of a sick society, not because of any leftover code of taboos, but because to dissipate oneself in such a manner is counter-revolutionary. It utterly scorns such phony revolutionary elements as the hippie or the drug culture, because it knows them to be only the more virulent forms of the same cancer as the system itself. It has historically been the task of each revolution to destroy that which is unclean. That accomplished, nature and man can once again assume their proper course upward. And that was written in 1981. Yes, it was. Thank you, James Mason, wherever you are. I don't think I saw this anyplace else in the paper. William Thomas, nominated to the U.S. District Court for Southern District, Florida, was one of the more than 150 nominations held up by Congress last year after the Senate invoked the so-called nuclear option that allowed it to approve these judicial nominations by simple majority vote. Thomas, who would have been the first openly homosexual black federal judge in the country, was left to watch as his name suddenly disappeared from the list. It turns out that one man who initially supported Thomas' nomination is responsible. Senator Marco Rubio, the Tea Party-backed Republican from Florida, forced the White House to withdraw Thomas' nomination by using what are known as the blue slip powers to block it. Another Senate rules, a nominee for the position as federal judge is required to have the approval or blue slip of both senators in the district's home state. Florida's other senator, Democrat Bill Nelson, submitted his blue slip approvingly the nomination in July of last year, while Rubio's spokesman said that the senator changed his mind because Thomas' judicial record. The president of Miami's largest association of black lawyers thinks that that has to do with his race and orientation. A little bit of black superiority there, huh? As much as I would like to think that politics has nothing to do with this, it looks as if it does.
They don't like your black ass, boy.
Yolanda Strotter told the New York Times, quote, it would be unfair to prevent a well-qualified homosexual judicial nominee from proceeding with the nomination process because he is openly homosexual black male. Well, there you go. Isn't that wonderful? Too bad we don't have a city someplace that all of these homosexuals could move to. And then they would have no discrimination against them other than the discrimination they use on each other, because I know plenty of homosexuals out there that don't like black people. Probably even black homosexuals. But anyhow, I mean, you know, we're always picking on them and they never get their own way and all that kind of stuff. So need a city out there. One, how about Detroit? They need, now that everybody's moving out, they need people to come in there. Make it the first homosexual city in the country, maybe in the world. Well, yet another juror questionnaire containing offensive options exists. And this time it's in America's largest city. Just a few months ago, after DeKalb County, Georgia, court officials left slave as an occupation in an online questionnaire, a form for a prospective New York City juror asked whether he or she is black African American or Negro. Renan Robinson, a 25-year-old school teacher from Queens, received the form at Queens County Courthouse with several hundred other potential jurors. Quote, I felt shocked and upset and totally disrespected, said Robertson, who thought, is this an old form from the 1950s? Before handing the form in, she crossed out the word Negro, adding, offensive. It's 2014. She took a picture of the information card and posted it to Facebook, then gave the card to the courthouse official, a black woman, and waited for her reaction. The employee didn't respond. You know, it's interesting, all these different names that blacks have gone through. You know, black, well, nigger, negro, black, colored, African American. They didn't dream that stuff up. It was white people or Jews that dreamed that stuff up and pushed it. And if you didn't know that, you know it now. Yeah. You're not going to believe this one, baby. Israel's Ministerial Committee for Legislation approved on Sunday a bill that would forbid the use of the word Nazi in any form, as well as words with similar sounds, for any reason. Use of the word Nazi would be allowed only for educational purposes, documentation, historical and scientific research, unquote. Offenders would face up to 6 months in prison and a fine up to 100,000 shekels. That would be $28,000. The draft law also outlaws insulting someone by wishing or expressing hope that the Nazis' goals should be fulfilled, unquote. As well as lamenting the fact that the Nazis failed to achieve their goals. That would be illegal, too. The bill would not prohibit calling actual Nazis as such. Well, then they should say National Socialist Workers. M.K. Shimon Ohayon, Yisrael Bretonou, introduced the bill in order to prohibit the use of Nazi symbols and terminology, unquote. It will be submitted to the Knesset for preliminary hearing or an initial vote on Wednesday. This is great, because, I mean, the Jews invented this silly term, neo-Nazi. They're the ones that use it the most. Even Nazi, that doesn't really mean anything. So this is great. Yeah, get rid of those terms. I get tired of seeing them. However, they're saying if the person is a Nazi, you can call him a Nazi. Yeah, but what is a Nazi, and how do you prove a Nazi's a Nazi? Because it's a made-up term. That's weird. Well, I see that three more Golden Dawn MPs are remanded to custody. They said supporters attacked journalists. Well, so what? Why? Because supporters, if you support the Republican Party and you attack a crowd of people that you arrest the candidates or the senators or that's crazy. Golden Dawn, whose emblem resembles a swastika. It isn't a swastika, but it resembles a swastika. And whose members have been seen giving Nazi-style salutes. Rejects the neo-Nazi label. When the prosecutor's decision for, well, anyhow, yeah, everybody should reject the neo-Nazi label because it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. I have a new idea to take care of two problems at the same time. I've developed, you know, they developed a new so-called neo-Nazi salute in Europe, or at least an anti-Jewish salute. Well, I've developed a salute for the Jews. It has to do with the outline of a Star of David. And they have to do the salute really fast. And if they do it, the Star of David fast enough with all those points on it, they're going to cause themselves to have a stroke. Or maybe walking down the street, they could take their finger and do the outline of a Star of David on their forehead every time they see another Jew. What do you think about that? Well, there's a big crackdown going on in Italy, I guess it is. Yeah. The Italian police launched a crackdown on neo-Nazi internet group Stormfront. Uh-oh. November 14th, the actor who quit Milan's Jewish community December 13th in Italy, a traditional Jewish lifestyle. What the hell's that all about? Well, that goes on to a big, long story about some guy talking about Jews in Italy and so forth. But anyhow, that's interesting. When they say crackdown on neo-Nazi internet group Stormfront, what, they come to this country and arrest Don Black or David Duke or something? How can they have a crackdown on Stormfront over here? You mean somebody who's using Stormfront in Italy, they're going to crack down on? Well, that's a waste of time. The more you crack down on people, the more militant they come. For a few hours on Thursday, the address Theodor Heuss Platz in Western Berlin reverted to its name during the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler Platz. At least on Google, anyway. As is often the case in Europe, think of Leningrad or St. Petersburg. The names of places are themselves a kind of condensed history of the 20th century. Such is the case with Theodor Heuss Platz. From its construction in the early 1900s to 1933, the square was called Reichskanzler Platz, or Imperial Chancellor Square. From 33 until 45, the paper that uncovered Google's goof says 1947 it was named after Der Führer. After the war, whether 1945 or 47, it reverted to Reichskanzler Truppenplatz. Then in 1963, the square was named after Theodor Heuss, who was the first president of the Federal Republic of Germany after World War II, from 1949 to 1959. Huh. I didn't know there was another. I thought there was another guy. Well, anyhow, the position of president is largely a ceremonial one in Germany. The current president is not Angela Merkel. She's the chancellor, but rather Joachim Gauck. Wait a minute, what happened to the story about the plots? According to BZ, a spokesman at Google apologized and said that they would look into why this change occurred. So far, they don't know why it happened. When I first read about this, my first thought was that they had somehow permitted data from an old-timey map to get through, which just goes to show how naive I am. BZ points out that Google Maps permits certain changes from users to account for short-term construction or changes in traffic. It takes only one disgruntled neo-Nazi to make a change like that. BZ also points out that Google Maps has a pretty good record in terms of dealing with historical place names. For instance, if you put Karl Marx Stadt, Google Maps instantly direct you to Chemnitz, as the East German city was known before 1953 and after 1990. Here is how the square looked during the Third Reich. Well, anyhow, there's some dirty, fascist, neo-Nazi, racist, whatever, who has caused the maps to change. And they had this horrible thing happen, and that Adolf Hitler Plaza was on the Google map. The world is coming to an end. Run for your lives. The Nazis are coming. The neo-Nazis are coming. No wonder so many people identify with neo-Nazi, because you don't have to do hardly anything and the world goes crazy. People like attention. That's what happens. They do one little thing like this change of the name on a map, and it goes around the world, and they feel like they've accomplished something there. Well, that so-called mass murderer, Breivik, reveals he is a neo-Nazi who wanted to destroy counter-jihad movement. In the translation of his Swedish article via Jihad Watch, the mass murderer in Norway reveals some more telling details about himself. The terrorist Anders Behring Breivik has sent a letter to the international media. In the letter, he describes himself as a fighter for the survival of the Nordic race and demands territory for whites in Norway. So far, I see nothing wrong with that. Anders Behring Breivik was sent out a letter to international media that Expo Today has reviewed. He describes the letter as sort of the first step in a peace negotiation with his political opponents. In the letter, Anders Behring Breivik, to some extent, changes the rhetoric from which he used in his so-called manifesto. He says that he used counter-jihadist rhetoric in the manifesto to protect ethno-nationalists and instead provoke a media campaign against the anti-nationalist counter-jihad supporters. He calls this a strategy of dual psychology. Anders Behring Breivik claims that he seeks a pure Nordic ideal. He argues that the Nordic race is being eradicated and wants to form a Nazi party in Norway like the Swedes party. He mentioned several notorious right-wing extremists in North Norway whom he wants to lead the party, including Varg Vergernes and Erik Blücher. Quote, "We lost the European Civil War, that was World War II," writes Breivik, addressing the nationalists who he believes should endorse his peace proposal. Breivik also identifies himself as part of Western Europe's fascist movement. For there to be peace, Breivik believes that nationalists should be offered southwestern Østfold in Norway to ensure the survival of native Norwegians and Scandinavians. Breivik wants to see similar parcels of land distributed to whites in several European countries. Breivik writes in addition that his love of Israel consists only in its future function as a place to deport disloyal Jews. That's a switch. Anders Behring Breivik also writes that he does not think he will survive in prison where he claims he has been tortured. And, okay, he deserves it for the horrors he caused, this writer says. His anti-Semitism is something jihadists embrace, as they would his mass murder behavior. He has also called for a collaboration with Hamas. Quote, "Approach a representative from a jihadi Salafi group. Get in contact with a jihadi straw man. Present your terms and have him forward them to his superiors. Present your offer. They are asked to provide a biological compound manufactured by Muslim scientists in the Middle East. Hamas and several jihadi groups have labs, and they have the potential to provide such substances. Their problem is finding suitable martyrs who can pass screenings in Western Europe. This is where we come in. We will smuggle it in to the EU and distribute it at a target of our choosing. We must give them assurances that we are not to harm any Muslims, and so on. So he also thinks alliances with jihadists are perfect. What more proof do we need that he was no different from them? And that's why it's very sad the Norwegian courts wouldn't give him a death sentence. Similarly, it's even more tragic that he could be out on the streets again in another 2 decades. Well, there you go. There you go. Well, now that you've seen or are going to see all those pictures of Mandela with Gaddafi and Fidel Castro that they don't show in much of the American press. That's funny. 14-5, I'll see you tomorrow on Wotan's Day. Yeah, David Lane's favorite day.